Thanks for listening to Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Racetech, racetech.com. Thank you to those guys for coming on board. And as always, get suspension work, motor work done. Tell them you listen to Pulp. They'll give you a discount. They got Racetech authorized service centers all across the USA as well. So thank you to the folks at Racetech, racetech.com. Get your suspension serviced. And save some money. Tell them you listen to Pulp. All right, on to the review show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication, your frustration.
Welcome, everybody, to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Anaheim 1 review. Yeah, the three of us, the three musketeers, are back together. Thank you for listening. I really appreciate it. Fly Racing, flyracing.com. Cooper Webb debuting in the Fly this weekend in America. And use the code PULPMX when you check out at flyracing.com to save. Formula helmet, simply amazing. Look at the technology behind that, from the Rion stuff to the Conehead EPS. Formula helmet, the S helmet, the Formula S, could save your life with the app. Read about it at flyracing.com and look into maybe the smartest, most protection helmet out there from Fly Racing, flyracing.com. And then the two lines of gear of the BOA closure system on it as well. And check it out. Boots, helmets, gloves, goggles, all of it, flyracing.com. And the gear of choice of many riders, including Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, the champ, Chance Hymus, and more. Thank you to the folks at Renthal as well. Joe Schmoto winning the race on Renthal from the Factory Honda guys. And Chase Sexton winning the race with Renthal bars as well. Sprockets from KTM. Renthal.com, they got a great website, super informative. And if you go on there, you can check out the bar comparison tour. You can also check out a dealer inventory locator as well. Renthal.com for more information on that. And thank you to the folks at Renthal for all that they do for us. And mountain bike parks is available at Power Sports Dealers now as well. And the lock-on grip. Renthal guys, we're in here talking about the lock-on grip. It's available now, and it's the best lock-on grip out there because you don't need to modify it at all to put it on any type of bar. So thank you to the folks at Renthal. Maxxis Tires, Fast Freddy Noren put in the main event with his Maxxis Tires. Jeremy McGrath was in the house at the Big A. He's helps develop the Maxxis Tires. So Maxxis Tires, light truck tires, trailer tires, great for your dirt bike, mountain bikes. They rule in mountain bike as well. So thank you to the folks at Maxxis Tires for coming on board. We'll tell you more about motorsport.com later on in the show. But yeah, this is a long one because it's the opener, but we appreciate you guys listening to it. And please check out flyracing.com and all the other sponsors if you can. Here's Jason Wygant, Jason Thomas, and myself. Please enjoy. And we're back, everybody. Fly Racing RacerX podcast show, Anaheim 1 review. It's been a while, but we are reunited, and it feels so good. We're here each and every week to talk about things that we saw and heard at Anaheim and all the Supercross races in harmony, always in agreement, and always working together towards a common goal to entertain the listeners. Thank you again to Fly Racing. Use the code PULPMX to check out. Cooper Webb making his Fly Racing debut this weekend, almost getting on the podium in Fly Racing gear, and lots to talk about when it comes to Anaheim 1. Again, thank you to Motorsport.com, Renthal, and Maxxis Tires, all on board with us. With me, the host of the pre-race and the post-race show, and the play-by-play man for many Supercrosses this year, the Jason Wygant. What's up, Weej?
Yeah, it's actually the first time Brayton and I were officially connected in the broadcast world. Sometimes he's a part of the show I do, or I'm a part of the show he does, but this time this show is us. There is a third guy also. I think he used to race, but whatever. Most importantly, I got to work with Brayton officially on TV this weekend. I think everybody knows where this is going. Resistance is futile. It's just what's going to happen to the universe, okay, everybody? This is just where we're going.
Yeah, it is pretty funny how that all works. But wait, so you're not counting like you going on race day live with JB like last year or whatever. Like, yeah, that doesn't count because that wasn't official. Like, I don't get what this is official.
I was like a guest on a show he was on, or maybe he comes on a pod we do. But this was the show is me and Brayton and another guy, mm-hmm. but whatever.
Yeah.
The show was me and Brayton. So there was a third person.
Yeah.
But he doesn't realize he's just a small cog in this large wheel we've been building for about 12 years.
That gentleman never won a 450 Supercross. So what can he know? What could he possibly know?
You know, I never even thought of it that way. If you just grab the average person off the street and say, who's won more Supercross races since Cyril or Brayton, it just doesn't compute.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Good point. It doesn't really.
Adam should have won 30.
Laps led,
but
I would.
Brayton's got a ball.
Laps led, I would think, would favor AC9. But, you know. Also on the line.
Not winning is right there. Top three all time. Shocker they didn't win a race.
Yeah,
Pastrana,
Cooper, AC.
Timmy?
No, I still think he'd be ahead of Timmy. I would. Yeah.
What?
I think so. Well, let's ask our next. Let's ask the other guy on the line here. From Fly Racing, flyracing.com, also the Pit Reporter. Also a gentleman that really benefited from myself pushing him onto the masses, and now he's on TV, just like you, Weege, the Jason Thomas.
Not like Weege, but yes, I will allow the rest of it.
What do you think? AC, Cooper, and Pastrana, JT? Or Ferry?
Fastest guys that never win a race?
Yeah, could Ferry, topic. Ferry could get in there or no?
I think Pastrana is the guy.
Yeah.
Fastest. But it's pretty shocking that AC didn't ever win one. Timmy was in a bad era. That was a problem. That was tough. But I think AC had a real shot there, kind of in the weirdo years, that you know, like COVID year and some of those years. Like he was good enough in the right time to get it done, and it just didn't happen.
And but, I mean, the reason I brought up Cooper because I think he lost three on the last lap or with a lap and a half to go. So, Guy Cooper.
I was thinking. Weber, Justin Cooper, and I didn't know where you were going with that.
No, Guy Cooper. Yeah.
Sorry. Like, the Oklahoma City one, unbelievable.
Yeah, no, all of them.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, so, okay, all right.
No one even knows what we're talking about with that, by the way, but
it,
we do.
It doesn't matter. And then Weege at the press conference on Friday, Zach Osborne, he's back around the sport helping the PRMX and Joey Savacci and other guys. And then him and Brayton were saying, we're tied in career Supercross wins, and we don't think that tie's ever going to be broken. So, yeah, there's that, too.
Actually, with Zacho, I don't think you really – you just never know. maybe not the win, but Zacho telling us 2 weeks from now he's riding 450 Supercross. Like, I don't rule anything out with Zacho.
Yeah.
I rule none of it out.
Yeah. Also, remind me before we end, I'm going to make a note. I got some J-Mart thoughts because he's around.
Oh, yeah.
Some J-Mart thoughts.
Oh, yeah. Folks, you better buckle up when – I mean, we're in Anaheim 1. There's really race where more things happen, and there's more to talk about, and more people to see, and more reuniting. And Steve ends the night saying, I have the best story of the weekend, and it involves J-Mart.
And don't you think it is the best story of the weekend?
No, it is, though. It is.
Yeah.
Not racing, not relevant, but the best story of the weekend.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
It is, though.
All right, Anaheim 1 is here, and I quickly watched the race a little bit back. Obviously, I was there, you guys as well. Lots to talk about. It is always weird at Anaheim 1. There's always those weirdo Anaheims, and there's things that you can't necessarily take to the bank, and there's other things you can take to the bank, I think, throughout the year. Lots to get into. Let's start with this, though. JT, generally speaking, Anaheim 1 tracks – and maybe more than ever because of 9 whoops and no dragon backs. But Anaheim 1 tracks are easy. They want to break everybody in. And I thought this one was a tougher Anaheim 1 than we've seen. It was techy. It was slower, you know? Yeah, I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, I didn't think it was super technical as far as design-wise.
Mm-hmm.
It was busy. It had a lot going on as far as switchbacks, and it wasn't super open. But the way that it shaped up, the dirt, kind of, it got really slippery. You couldn't really trust it. Like, we saw a lot of mistakes all day long. The sand was really tricky because it had, like, a hard base to it.
Mm-hmm.
So those aspects made it very technical. However you want to get there, yes, I agree.
The amount of guys going down in the sand, Hunter, Jet, some of the bigger names, or the amount of guys getting buck wild coming out of the sand, Malcolm and others, it was a lot. Yeah. Like, there was a lot going on.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I did a little piece over there, and I didn't do a great job, I would imagine that. But the tough part of it was guys wanted to go for it because, mm-hmm. you know, the sand kind of asks you to rev it up, like, get going. But, man, it was really weird underneath. So it would catch them. Like, they would spin and then catch and then spin and then catch, and they would mm-hmm. – and there were bumps in the middle that would send them sideways. And we saw some huge moments in qualifying, which mm-hmm. the cameras probably didn't catch at times. And then we saw, you know, the Mookie crash as well. But that was a really tricky spot.
Yep.
That could have gone a lot worse throughout the day. Jet had a big one. Chase had a big – so
– yeah. And generally Anaheim 1 is pretty tame and everyone gets through it pretty easy, you know. So that was a little tricky, Anaheim 1. So I liked it. All right, Chase Sexton wins. Joe Schmoto wins. Lots to get into. Let's get into this before we kind of go position by position and talk about it. And I didn't prep you guys. Probably should have, but the low prep podcast stuff.
We're prepped.
Yeah.
We've been in meetings and races and right. stuff for 3 days.
I didn't prep you on this question. What weirdo thing, and there's a lot, Justin Hill, Jet Lawrence, Ferrandis,
I mean, anything weirdo, I'm going immediately Jet.
But immediately. The question is, what
anything with weird in it?
What weirdo thing is gonna stick? What weirdo thing that we saw? Because we know a lot of it's not going to stick. What's going to stick this year? And I'll start, because I didn't prep you guys. I think Justin Hill is back, and he's good again. And I think the rap is the same, but it's a different Justin Hill. He was good all day. He passed Eli Tomac in the main event back, and he got a top 10. And I think the weirdo Justin Hill result, I think we're going to be sitting here. Because he did do an interview where he talked about he is trying, and he is he's back and all this stuff.
He's trying.
And I think we're going to sit here, come Denver, come Salt Lake, come Pittsburgh, and Justin Hill is a top 10 guy. So I think the weirdo Justin Hill result is for real. What do you think, Weege? What weirdo Anaheim 1 thing is a trend?
Man, there's so many weirdo things, but I really can't think of any of them that I necessarily believe it. I mean, Juju riding well is not a weirdo, right?
No. Nope.
Like, I believe that will stick, but that's not weirdo.
No,
right?
I don't think so.
And Joe winning, is that weirdo?
Yes.
Oh, that is weirdo?
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the first time he's ever started fast in a series in his life, so it has
to. Yes, but if I say that it's going to stick, that would mean he's going to continue winning later into the year, which is actually not weirdo. Well, so is it weirdo or not? I'm very confused.
Let's go.
First half of the season, if he's really good, that would be sticky.
Yeah, let's go like just obviously Hayden still, we'll talk about Hayden and he's still the favorite, but let's just say the weirdo thing is Joe's got something for Hayden and will be points
starts,
leader. And yeah.
Early on.
Yeah.
No, no, no. I mean, I don't believe that. I definitely don't think the Lawrence brothers and Jet struggling that bad is going to stick. So I'm throwing that one out completely. That's the weirdest thing that happened. It's not going to stick. It's not in this category. I don't know. I'll go with Joe being more of a contender than maybe people expect. That's the thing that will stick.
You could take the Hill. Yeah. You could take the Hill thing, too. You could just jump on that.
That was good, but I'm not going to take it from you. But I agree. I mean, he's right there. And the thing with Hill is here's how you know it could stick, right? Steve, it's 50-50. If someone... That's the thing with Hill. Like, it's not out of the range that he could do this. We've seen it before.
Yeah.
So, yeah, totally believable that he could be top 10 all year.
Okay. All right. JT, what do you got?
I'm going with Jet and Hunter are going to be uncomfortable with the motorcycle for a while.
Okay.
I don't think that's fixed because they've been working on it for 2 months.
Oh, I agree it's not a one-week fix, but I just feel like we could be by round 10 and be like, oh, yeah, remember that?
Well, that's round 10. I'm saying, like,
yeah,
we're going to be in February, and there's still going to be, like, tracks, and they're like, man, we're still fighting this and that, because the reason I go there, they've had time to work on this. They knew that the bike was a challenge in November, and then you look at what happened in January, I don't see a reason why they're going to snap their fingers and figure it out in a couple days when they've had so much time and they're still right here, you know?
Yeah, Weege and I were talking to somebody close to the team on track walk, and they were pretty open and honest about the bike and the issues. And if you guys go back to the Supercross preview videos that I was in and was no doubt the star of them, ask anybody on YouTube.
Loved.
Yeah. Then that was a huge question of mine. Like, I just, because in Paris, it wasn't good, and they'd ridden them 5 or 6 times, and it's I'm not a bike setup guy, but there's definitely some things with the new bike that these guys haven't figured out, and new suspension components we each, right? Like, it seems like it's a real thing.
You heard, right? New suspension. The bike was new. Obviously, it was a complete slam dunk very quickly at Unadilla and an SMX. You can't argue with that. But then, yeah, there's some completely different Showa stuff and new fuel for the team. They switched to Get ECU. Is that what happened also?
Yep.
Right? Yep. So I think it's a combination of none of the things themselves are terrible, but when you throw 4 new things in at once, new bike is always tough anyway, and then their off-season schedule was super wacky. That's up to 5 things now. And, yeah, I think we've been hearing about it the entire offseason, probably since Paris, Steve. I think we've been hearing it pretty consistently.
Did you watch the race back yet?
Me?
Yeah. Yes, you, yeah, Steve, yeah, the Steve, yeah, guy. During it, so I'm talking about the bikes, and I'm a little, you know, unsure about, like, how it looks. They don't look great. So I make that point, and then Stu kind of takes that point, and he's watching Jet and talking about that moment where Jet, like, it comes kind of undone. He gets a little head shake and the front end's kind of all over the place. Like, that was, it was almost scripted, because I was like, oh man, like, we are so lucky to see that moment, to see the bike that unsettled right there while Stu was talking about it. And I just thought it was perfect for TV, because I think people are watching, especially casual fans, and they're like, what do you mean? Like, how does, I don't know what that means, that the bike is not working right, or they're not comfortable. Like, he looks fine. In that moment, you could really see the front end. He really can't control where it's going. It's that head shake motion coming across like a rough spot right gets on the brakes. Those are the things that we have really never seen from Jet riding. Like, he almost always looks picture perfect, the right body position, never really a foot wrong. That was it. I just thought it was awesome for the average person to be able to kind of understand what Jet's feeling. And the important thing there is that feels that, like, it looked, the bike is not doing what he expects to do. He can't be Jet Lawrence in those moments. He can't press the envelope. He can't really push, because pushing on a motorcycle, you have to almost be guaranteed of what is going to happen next. Like, you're assuming what's going to happen, and you have to be always right. And that gives them the confidence to really kind of, that's why they can go so fast, is they already know what the bike's going to do long before it ever does it. When the bike's doing weird stuff like that, it removes all that confidence, and then he can't go be that incredible talent that we've all seen. So I don't know. I'm not doing a great job of explaining it. I just thought it was a nice moment on television for the average viewer to kind of see what Jet's trying to tell the Honda engineers about why he's uncomfortable.
Also, from my vantage point up top, I could see the whoops really well. He was awful in the whoops in the main event. The heat wasn't so bad, but the skimming was bad. I think that's actually what led to the crash in the sand. He was barely hanging on, and then by the end of the whoops, he was done, and then he fell in the sand. And then he tried jumping, which I don't almost have ever seen Jet jump whoops. Yeah, and that was even worse.
Did you see his interview where he said, I was blitzing, that was no good. And
yes.
And then I went to jumping, and I was no good.
Yes. That's what I saw. They were exceptionally tough whoops to jump. They were so square at the bottom, that didn't help. But, like, to see him try multiple combinations and none of it going right, I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen Jet in whoops that bad. Like, every lap is like, oh, he almost went down again.
Yeah, and
I've never been like that.
And I was thinking the same kind of thing. He was struggling and not being able to get through him. But then, you know, he was second fastest in qualifying, and he was right in the mix with Chase and Eli, and they were the 3 best guys, I think, in the both sessions pretty clearly. And then I was like, yeah, but I guess by the time the night show hits and everybody goes through them, they're hammered, you know. So,
and I think he's capable of outriding what the bike is doing for one lap. that's my take on that. Like, he can kind of force it to happen, almost similar to Chase last year. Look how uncomfortable Chase was, and he could still kind of, like, he was 1/10 off of Jet in time qualifying at A1 last year. I think those guys can just make it happen for one lap. It's asking them to do it, you know, for 20 minutes plus a lap in a row, doing that same thing where the problem comes in.
It was still shocking to see him just slowly go through guys. I mean, yeah, Shane McElrath incredible. Was giving him all he wanted.
It was the worst race of his career, my opinion.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
worst race of his career.
The only one that comes to mind, literally, is SMX first moto at SMX in Charlotte last year, and this was worse. Yeah,
yeah. This was worse than that. Yeah.
It was shocking to watch. Absolutely. But I mean, if you had told me, look, he's not comfortable with his bike, and he falls twice, or he gets hung up and falls, I probably still would have said he's good for a fifth. You know.
Yep, that's what I said it on my personal podcast. I said, in any world, as long as he's upright and the bike's not broken, I think he's getting back in the top 10. And he didn't do that.
Yeah,
that is a huge thing.
Yeah,
we've seen him just blow past people. Like he doesn't even look like he's on the same track that they're on.
Yeah,
and he couldn't even pass people at times. Yeah. It was crazy to watch.
Hunter had a rough night too. Hunter went down in practice. Went down in the main. This is interesting to watch going forward, for sure. Like,
it's kind of the perfect scenario. Interesting having both Deegan and Jet in quite a hole early. Now, Deegan's situation is different. It's not like he was slow, but it's going to be fun to watch. I mean, again, I do not think he's going to be terrible all year. He will get better. He will win. But, yeah, how long, how much damage is done? You know, we saw Stu in these situations in the past. I talked to Stu about it after qualifying. I'm like, what was the beginning of 2010 like on that new Yamaha? And he's like, actually, even 2009, when I first got on the old Yamaha, he's like, I had the talent to try to make it up, but it was friggin' hard.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what we saw. Now, if Jet doesn't go down at the start, maybe, and doesn't crash a second time, maybe he can get fifth. I think he can ride well enough to do it. But yeah, he cannot have three things go wrong and then still make up for it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, for sure. Like, he doesn't, to me, look like he's near a podium right now, you know, based on that coming through. But we'll see.
I mean, I'm not there. Yeah, I'm not there yet.
That qualifying, those three really separated in qualifying.
I know, but geez, like,
you give him a good start, I think he can figure out a way. I do.
Yeah.
What I'm more concerned is he doesn't look anything like, he didn't look in the races. He didn't look anything like Jet Lawrence.
No.
That's what's concerning.
And then, you know, further back, Hunter didn't look like Hunter either, right? Like, both brothers are not happy. Hunter's whatever percent you want off of last year, what he ended on, and then Jet's whatever percent he wanted. Now, Darren Lawrence was telling me in Paris, like, Jet's so good, he can just outride anything, which is absolutely true. He said Hunter can't. So I believe that to be true. And now we might see Hunter even struggle more, you know? It'll be interesting to see, for sure. Listen, I'm crew chief for the 250 side, but I'll try to do some digging.
Oh, yeah, you want to announce this now?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, absolutely. Like, I put it on Twitter.
You hit up Lars. They've lost their crew chief. He moved to Star,
yeah,
Jordy,
yep.
And you're taking the job?
Yeah, I texted Lars. Well, Lars said he was going to offer it to me, I think, first. That's first went. And then I said, I'll take it, but I need certain conditions met. And he said, sure. And then it looks like I'm in. He said, you're in. And then we won. So, not bad. Not
Did
a bad
you do
start.
Anything?
I went to the Honda truck after practice, as promised. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
And just talked.
Crew chief.
Yeah, and just talked to Lars. That was it.
Okay. No actual bike changes?
No bike changes. Just
okay.
I just talked to Lars. So.
I did. You first went over then. You said maybe a couple clicks in on compression. I think you did tell him that.
I did say that. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go. Okay. Congrats,
yeah.
Joe.
Yep. this is going to be, yeah, this will be interesting to watch because the starts weren't there. The riding wasn't there and in the night show. And yeah, I mean, watching the replay off the start, obviously too, Jason Anderson didn't really help things out, but, you know, cause he would have been
the start itself.
Yeah.
That was one of the most hairball.
It was.
I hate using the word ever. Cause I'm sure there's five other times where it's been terrible, but what the heck?
Yeah. I mean, any start that goes across a football stadium, it's not great, but yeah.
No, but like, dude, we looked at the angles.
Yeah.
That you had to go right from the inside gate. And then he actually ended up almost a good one. I'm like, how did he end up with a good gate, even though he had the bad heat? But he still ended up hitting the tough luck anyway.
Yeah. Chase Sexton wins, though. Obviously, he got on the podium last year, but he didn't look that good. He said over and over how amazed he was that he made the box. And, he was just hoping for, like, a top eight last year. And, dude, he looked good right from the start. He did lose the front end in the first qualifying session. And he did stall it in the main. Again, he's a stall guy, no matter what bike he's on. But, looks really good. And in talking to some of the KTM people and talking to Chase, he said he pushed the team. The team told him that he pushed them further in a direction that they've never gone with this bike, be it AP, be it Coop Webb, be it whoever. And like it's working. It's good. I think this is real. I think this is it. This is real, JT. I'll start with you. I think he's back. I'm not claiming Supercross title or anything, but I think he's back.
No, he looked great. This is the best I've seen him ride a KTM ever. Mm-hmm. Outdoors, he was pretty great at times. But in Supercross, it's not even close.
Yep.
You know, he's just all day, it wasn't a dominant qualifying session or anything like that, but he was in the mix. And then he just looked so confident in the heat. He kind of got out front, checked out. No big deal, no big moments, whatever. See ya.
Mm-hmm.
And then the main event, kind of same thing. He stalled it like you mentioned, but then it was like, yeah, no big deal. Like, I still sister. Like, I'm just going to pull away from Ken Roczen.
Yeah.
No problem.
Yeah.
And uncontested. It was exactly the type of day that you would draw up, no matter who you are. That's how you want A1 to go.
Well, you would want to be fast in practice too, but whatever.
Yeah, I mean, whatever. Hats off to him, man. Like, everybody's, I certainly have kind of looked at him sideways. Like, man, I don't know what's going on with you. I know you're better than this for over a year now. And he showed up and he did it. He did the thing that everybody's been asking him to do. Show up, act like you've been there, act like you're a previous champion. When the opportunities take it, run away with the race. He did all those things. So I have nothing but praise to give the guy.
Weej, you're with us, Weej. This is for real.
Well, for better or for worse, he talks a lot about, being frustrated with bikes.
Mm-hmm.
He left Honda after having success, then goes to another team. I know that people, he's leaving because of the Lawrences moving in. I'm sure there was a factor, but there's no way he thought it was going to be worse when he switched to another bike. And then he spends an entire year, at least in Supercross, saying the bike's not good. And then at that point, you're backing yourself into a real hole of just being a guy that makes excuses, unless you can eventually turn it around. And he said it was better, mm-hmm. and then he backed it up.
He told me,
now we know, I guess. Yeah, go ahead.
No, just yep. Sorry. He's told me, I'm not kidding you, on and off the record, 10 times, if they get me a bike I'm comfortable on, I can win. If they get me a bike I'm comfortable on, I can win.
Absolutely. He's been saying it for 15 months on this bike. But yeah. What I'm saying is, if you don't ever get there, eventually, whether you're telling the truth or not, people just don't want to hear it. And it just sounds like you're making excuses.
Yeah.
And the only way to have that not be true is to eventually get to a day where you're like, nope, fixed it, and I won. And that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And it's the weird thing, right? We always ask for honesty from the riders. He has been nothing but brutally honest. And then he kind of gets slammed for it at times. But I got to give him credit now. Like, it looks like he's just like, yeah, I was just telling you the truth.
Yep.
When I'm good, I'll tell you. And when I'm bad, I'll tell you. These aren't excuses. They're always shades of gray in there. But damn it all, like, he really backed his words up. He said he'd be better, and he was.
Yeah. No, it was good. It was really impressive. The way JT mentioned it, he pulled back out on Kenny. And Kenny rode great, and we'll get to that. But he pulled back on Kenny like two laps. Like, yeah, okay, cool. All right, I'm going to go back out. I'm going to pull this lead back out. So, it was great. Yeah, it was awesome. Great, good, great start. Jay Dungy, new mechanic. Also, can I just, there was two of them, I guess. One at the press conference and one on Saturday, I heard. Can I just put a blanket statement out there for the media to not ask Chase questions about KTM's financial issues? Like, why not? What's he going to say?
Yeah, but this is where it's not Chase's fault, but when KTM in America says nothing, what are you supposed to do?
What do you mean they say nothing?
Has KTM North America told anybody anything?
But seriously, like, do you think, does anyone truly think that Chase Sexton knows what's going on in the business side of things for the corporate KTM North America? Come on, man.
I'm sure we've all been hit up with fans saying, why aren't you guys acknowledging that there's a chance that Sexton's team could be done by round four or April? Or has anyone from KTM said, no, man, that's not going to happen?
Yeah, they have. Andy Jefferson has said that.
Yeah, he did reach out to Andy Jefferson, did tell me that.
Yep.
Sorry, it was actually Tom Bowen did tell me that. That was in, I don't know, November or something.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying, I feel like they could have done a better job putting that fire out and explaining it. And since they did not, now Chase Sexton has to handle it. So I don't think it's a ridiculous question.
But it's just quick. It's a quick baity question. There's no information going to be gained from it. None.
Even if Chase does know the inner workings of getting out of this bankruptcy and the lending of the banks and all, even if Chase Sexton does know this, which is a very high chance he does not, what's he going to say?
Wouldn't he say, absolutely, it's not anything at all. I have complete assurances that we're going to be racing all year. It doesn't affect us. Can he just say that?
I mean, sure. But he didn't.
Well,
yeah, a ton of information.
He didn't.
Yeah.
Well, again, I don't think you expect to get financial reports. I think they just want a yes or no. Is this a problem or is it not a problem?
It's a quick baited question.
Yeah.
I guess.
Oh, me and JT.
So I'm over to Roger McCosker.
It's 2025 and JT and I are coming together. It's New Year.
Damn it. You know what, JT? He said he was going to do this year.
Yep.
So I talked to Roger McCosker and then he kind of referred me over to John Hines, who's the KTM North America president, but they both explained the basics of KTM North America is a separate company. Now, I don't know enough about business to know how separate. They're really selling the we are separate, we are profitable, we are fine side. I don't see how the two things can be completely disconnected like that. But all I'm saying is, if the answer is that simple, and that's a really good answer, I feel like it should have been out there more than me having to go find people in the pits at the first race of the year to get an answer that's that clear and that simple. They didn't really put it out there. So this is what you get.
Okay. Well, I don't agree.
KTM North America put out a press release that says this. In light of the recent events that you've heard about with KTM AG Austria, KTM North America is a separate company and there will be no effect on product lines or motorcycle racing in 2024. Just say it.
So then the guys that want to ask Chase Sexton that, go find Roger. Go find Ian and ask them.
Yeah, okay. I guess I'll give you that. But it is a press conference, so.
Chase Sexton's the furthest thing he's doing is caring about this or worrying about this or anything.
It's so far from his purview, man. He's not in corporate law.
Yeah.
Yeah. See,
I understand why people want to know. I just think asking that question in that environment, in that moment at A1 is, hey, look at me. I'm going to ask this question. I'm going to, like, that everybody is, like, talking about.
Yeah.
That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah. So, okay.
Okay.
All right. So, Sexton's best lap, by the way, was, if you want to talk about how good he was 1.1 better than third place, or best lap to Jason Anderson. 0.6 better than Ken Roczen. Like, yeah, it was impressive. Good job, Chase Sexton, KTM. Red plate holder and all of that. Ken Roczen second. He was 14th after qualifying, and I interviewed him after the race, and I said, look, man, I know you don't care about qualifying. I get that. But 14th? 14th? And he said he never got a clear lap, and then he tried to get a clear lap, and he screwed up, and then he tried to get a clear lap, and other people screwed up, and he wasn't worried about it, as always. And then Sexton mentioned to me that he wasn't thinking about Kenny either until he saw the heat race win, and then he said, oh, the beast has woken up. Like, now we've woke Kenny up, so now I'm going to have to deal with Kenny after the heat race win because Kenny won that. And it's just, once again, like, we don't talk, and I said this to Kenny, like, you know, Jet, and can Hunter back it up, and Eli Tomac is the man, and we probably left Kenny Roczen out of a lot of bench racing.
Show one
he was not in it. The wife is mad. Chris Wheeler's mad. And now look what you've done.
Look, we did get a joke angry text from Ken's wife. It was great.
Yeah, yeah, she was not serious. Yeah, but
yeah,
yeah. Well,
also, Chase Sexton agrees that he should have been in show one.
Yep, thank you. Chase also agreed with that as well. And also, Chase said that you two spent too much time in show one talking about the guys in show two. And I agree.
I agree, too, actually. We did.
Okay. Damn it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, if you remember doing those shows, we got in this problem. JT, if you remember this, we had a tough time defining Ken Tomac win without mentioning, well, he could be really good, but is he better than Jet? Like, it's kind of hard. And we did get sucked into that trap. Where it's all measured against the high bar that is Jet Lawrence.
Yeah, can he win depends on can he beat the prior champion who happened to not be in that show.
So it is hard to separate, and we did go too deep on that. I agree, but I don't know how to do it any other way.
I just love that there's controversy yet again.
Yes. Yes.
So good job for Ken Roxon. That was awesome. I couldn't believe that. JT, did you catch that comment in the press conference that he's got a factory transmission finally?
Well, I think he's had access to it.
He has not.
He's not, but he has not been able to have one.
He has not.
I didn't take it that way.
No, I did some digging. He has not had one.
Oh.
Yeah.
No, we know he hasn't had one, but could he didn't have the option?
No, he could not have one. He said he tried one early on at HEP. It broke, and it just never came back.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So, I didn't take it that way.
You know, JT, what rider do you know wouldn't want a taller first and a taller second?
Oh, well, everybody. I just assumed they had another option for that. I didn't know that only one person on earth could make that or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. So he's been doing this well with just a stock transmission, which I'm just like blown away by. And then I made a joke to a certain guy, Suzuki, like, did you dust off Larry Ward's transmission or what happened? As Suzuki Japan stepped up, he's got a taller first and a taller second.
Yeah, it's good. I've been asked a million times, like, because I never got a factory bike, right?
Right.
That Husky was not a factory bike.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Yeah. But everybody would always ask me, like, what would you want? That was my immediate answer every time.
Yeah.
Factory transmission. Every single time. It was the number one answer without any hesitation.
Yeah. So I was like, hey, so I said to Kenny, so like, how is it? He's like, it's good. So Suzuki, like you said, Weege, to this unnamed person, Suzuki's conservative strategy looking at KTM's stuff they're going through has paid off.
Yeah, you enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I really did.
I texted a guy from Suzuki and I said, in light of KTM's recent financial turmoil, maybe Suzuki's long-term strategy is paying off.
Yeah. Literally made me laugh out loud. But he's got a factory transmission, everyone. So
here's what I want to know. So these things have been just sitting on a shelf?
No, they didn't have them. They didn't have any. They had to make them.
Oh, so there's light. They turn the lights on.
Geppetto over there turned the lights on, scratched his butt, and went into the workshop.
Wow, because I feel like we had heard they don't have a works division anymore, right?
No, I don't think so.
All right. Hey, JT, on the show, maybe, is it that simple? Is that what a works transmission pretty much always is? Those two ratios change? That's the general.
For me, it's first gear. That's all I care about. Longer first. So
yeah.
Coming out of corners and being able to triple out of corners in first, that was everything for me.
Since this is so common, actually, I think it'd be a cool report for people at home to just explain, like, yeah, the needs, the gear ratio needs in Supercross are different than your average motocross rider, and that's why they do this. It would be, very understandable for people.
Yeah. It also does help, like Steve mentioned, a longer second for the start. And when you don't have to shift, if second pulls longer, that's an advantage as well. That's a good idea.
Yeah, sure. And just
I will try to find an area where that would definitely be a factor.
And so Steve Mathis from Pulp MX did some digging, everybody, and I'm Jason Thomas, and
Well, when you're on RDL, you can just do it there, Steve.
Well, do you guys, I mean, I don't know. There's a 30-second clock now with some sort of rapid-fire questions also. I don't know what's going on. So, all right.
Did you think you invented the lightning round of any show ever? Is that what you think happened?
Yes.
Okay.
So anyways, Kenny said the factory transmission is good and Suzuki is back and Ken Roxon is good and 14th overall doesn't matter in qualifying. for Ken Roczen. So, good job. Jason Anderson, third. And so we heard from somebody, Weege, I think JT was on this text. Anderson's front end, front wheel got into Jet off the start, right? And
yeah.
So I guess, and I didn't double check this, but I heard from a source close to Cowie that for the first time, they wire tied their spokes together, which is some factories do, some don't. It's kind of a, I never did on any team I was on, but I have seen it done. Cowie decided to wire tie their spokes together, you know, so they don't all break, or if something happens, they stay together, right? The two spokes are tied together, and that literally saved Jason, I guess, or was a big hand in helping Jason get a third. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said, I was listening. He wasn't telling me this, but I was listening to him telling Roczen this, and a little bit of Chase, but more Kenny, that he kept looking down and he kept hearing it. And he was like, I was actually happy when Kenny passed me because I was so locked in and like pushing the bike way too hard. And once Kenny passed me, I could just slow down and try to focus on just saving my bike and being super smooth. Cause he was like, I'm going to for sure DNF with how much noise the wheel was making, but yeah, I made it.
Yeah. Yeah. Jason Anderson third. Good job for him. And that was a wild first turn for sure. Watching it back.
And you know, the teams have wheel carts down on the track. Did that come out of Chad's Cowie busted a wheel at Anaheim 1-2010?
I believe so. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And now everybody has them.
Yep. And now maybe everyone will start wire tying their spokes together.
Yeah.
Cooper Webb fourth. Almost caught Jason there in the last lap. He was charging. He was doing Cooper Webb things out there. Looking pretty good. Now, I guess from talking to people, I didn't know this. Maybe JT did because of the fly stuff. He had a crash, which I did hear he had a crash a while ago, and I heard he was off the bike, but then I heard this weekend he was off the bike for a while.
Yeah, like, he was.
Right. So
I can't talk about those things when I'm told, hey, this is way off the record. Like, I just have to keep my mouth shut because the only reason I'm told is because I work for a big sponsor of his. So, but yes, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true.
I heard he had one at the farm, but then just didn't hear like it was big, but I guess it was, and I guess he hit.
Yeah, we had to move a photo shoot.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So he hadn't been riding much. So I think a fourth for Coop and charging at the end, he'll take it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the third wasn't exactly what he wanted, and I know the result isn't exactly what he wanted, but for him, all I think you're trying to get out of there with is a solid weekend, really good points, and the confirmation that you're where you kind of need to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he got all of those things out of the weekend.
Yeah. Yep. Solid. I think that's a good way to put it for Coop. And again, like all that time off and everything else, and he almost caught Jason at the end. So what do you think of the fly stuff? JT, were you happy with all that look and the debut?
Yeah. Yeah. I really like when he wears the light blue light stuff, which he worked. That's my favorite look he has in his repertoire. So, he's a great representative for us. I think he fits kind of the identity of our brand.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, it's been a godsend to have him since day one.
Eli Tomac, Weege.
Me?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
It's awesome. I'm so bummed. So I didn't really have anything to do during the racing at all. I was so bored, Steve, that I literally came to the press box to hang out with you guys.
Yeah, twice. I couldn't believe it.
I was at that level.
I couldn't believe it. Oh. Yep. You came for the losers.
AC and Brayton had to go announce for the live audience, and then I was by myself, and our producer Bondo was like, you don't have to stand there in the cold by yourself. You can go somewhere else. Just come back by the end of the race for the post show. So then I did go back by the main event to make sure I was ready, and then Tomac gets the lead, and the crowd is going absolutely insane bonkers. There weren't actually, even during qualifying, there weren't even many people in there, and they were still loud when his name went to the top of the board. And then when Jet put in the last heater and didn't quite get him, they cheered again. Then they were going insane when he had the lead. So I'm like, I gotta video this. So I gotta pull my phone out of my pocket, and then I'm like, wait, what? He's in last. What the hell happened? It happened so darn quick.
Yeah.
And JT, you nailed it. You can probably explain what went wrong with the crash. But anyway, I don't think it even matters that much. Would it have been awesome to podium or win? Yes. But I feel like there's just total confirmation that he's good. He's awesome. He's definitely not getting tired this year since he came from last to fifth. Eli Tomac fan, it's anything you want. Who cares about the result? He's back.
And he got run over when he fell. And he also qualified quickest for the first time in a long time. Did I see that stat somewhere? Like he hadn't got a pole position for forever? For a long time?
Yeah, I think it was 2022.
Yeah. So, and in his fifth, his last to fifth, I was checking the lap charts today, and I was wondering if he had pulled away from Jet. But he was, Jet was right ahead of him, then Jet went down in the, Eli was like two back of him, and then Jet goes down in the sand, lap three, and then Eli just goes by him. Because I was thinking, did it happen? Did Eli go by Jet, you know what I mean, and keep going? It didn't happen because Jet went down. But that's what I was kind of looking at. But, yeah, that was impressive, JT. Good job for Eli Tomac. He's on Air Forks, too, which is a big change for him.
Is that what he switched to? Will and I were trying to kind of decipher what he had switched to, but we didn't.
Yeah, so he had this hybrid fork, which is an air slash spring fork, right? Because, you know, we couldn't decide on air and spring for a long time. So then KYB said, why not, like chocolate and peanut butter, put them together? And Eli really liked that fork for forever. And then I don't know when it happened, but he went to a all air fork.
Okay. Well, yeah, the most important thing here is that we just wanted to see the 2023-2022 Eli Tomac back out there, and we have that guy. So win, lose, or draw, champion or not, it's going to be a really fun year because I think he has that in him again, and we're going to find out, you know, Steve and Deej's point about it gets harder to bring that every single weekend could still be true. There might be weekends where he just doesn't have it. He's not feeling it. We don't know yet. We've had one race, and he had it. So let's go from here. But this is a great way to start.
Yeah. I was wondering, talking about a couple things. Press conference also bugged me. Someone asked Eli.
They can't reach.
Okay, what? Yeah. Someone asked Eli. Sorry. They can't reach? Yeah. I don't know. Anyways. Someone asked
my kid. Okay. Trying to get my kid to go to bed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Someone asked Eli, like, is this just like a farewell tour and you're just – when would Eli Tomac not be all in on anything he does? Of course he is going for the championship. Like, he only knows one thing. He's gnarly. There's not going to – he is not going to, like, just not practice during the week and then take the roses and go farewell.
Well, that sentiment came from the Charlotte SMX press conference. Somebody asked him there about how he thought about this farewell season. Was he kind of thinking, like, go out there and then pass the torch to Jet? Did he see it himself as, like, the elder statesman passing the torch to Jet Lawrence? And he was having none of that.
Oh, of course
none of that.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, great Anaheim 1 for Eli Tomac, despite that fifth. And were you guys surprised with all the internet drama and all the stuff with Jet and the things he said at Media Day about the fans and no one liking him and he doesn't care and he may as well just win? And I think Tomac did get the biggest response there, but I did not hear any boos for Jet Lawrence. I just heard cheers. Did you guys hear anything contrary to that?
I didn't hear any boos, no. He didn't get nearly the reaction of some other guys, but yeah. No, he did not get booed.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there was this sort of groupthink. Yeah.
It was not sort of.
Okay.
No. They had planted the flag firmly in the ground of people don't like us.
Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm like, wait, what? Like, people like the Lawrences. They absolutely do. So, anyways.
I do see there's plenty of chatter out there, but that's just 2025 is what I say.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that opinion is not out there. If you look through comments, if you look through what people say, the Deegan Australia thing did not help. That's just the latest thing. But I'm just saying, if you're a celebrity, you shouldn't even be wading into those waters.
Yeah.
Steve, same thing. Don't read YouTube comments about our preview shows.
Yeah, sounds great.
Same advice for you.
Oh, I read them.
The simple fact is, when you're great, people are going to hate you because you're great. That's it. That's it. That's all it takes. You don't have to do anything wrong. They're just not going to like you because everybody else likes you. That's just the way of the world, and it's what you sign up for. So it's unfortunate, but it's never going to change.
Unless you're McGrath, yeah. Or was that just a different era with no social media?
Yeah, but there were people that didn't like McGrath because they were Emick fans. That was the thing. I know we didn't have social media, so it wasn't as apparent, but I promise you that was out there.
Well, they're idiots.
There definitely, I'm sure, was a hoping, as great as he was, you want to see something surprising happen, and probably as the gate's dropping, hoping that he gets a bad start, you know, or something, or someone's on that night. Yeah, it's hard to separate how much is just, hey, I want to see some variety in the results to shake it up, and how much is I personally don't like his personality. It's really hard to break all that up. But JT, I really think you just summed it up better than anyone has in a year. It's really what it all boils down to.
But, like, Deegs would use that too, right? Deegs would, in interviews would say, like, oh, they say I can't do this. And it's like, who says that? Like, but I guess, but then someone close to Deegs told me, yeah, man, all the idiots on the social media, like, Deegs uses that. Like, no one with a brain actually thinks Deegs can't do this or can't do that or whatever. Like, he's an amazing rider. But someone close to him told me, oh, no, he just reads the Instagram comments. So that's,
wow.
Like, he needs it. He needs that to fuel him. Because all of us are scratching our heads, says, who said that? Who said you can't win in the sand? Like, you know what I mean? Or whatever it was that Deegs said a few times. So
no, I think that was JT, actually.
Oh, okay.
I did not specifically say you can't win in the sand. I did not say can't win in the sand. That is not what I said. I said it was the only round where he didn't look like he was the same guy. And then he fixed it. He came out swinging in 24.
You also pointed out the fact that he had a big crash and helicoptered at Hangtown, and apparently it was not a big crash. It was fine.
Yeah, well,
it's a huge crash.
Insinuating that he made a mistake because Dial was pressuring him,
yeah.
Which he didn't care for.
Okay, moving on. Justin,
the Jet thing's a little different. I don't think anyone's doubting his performance. I think the Jet haters are hating on Jet as a person. I don't think there's a lot of, I don't think Jet's very good. That stuff's going to just fade more and more for Deegs, too. I mean, I don't know who's going to be saying any doubts of his ability to win races this year. That's probably out the window, too.
Okay, Justin Barcia, sixth. Not bad for Bam Bam on this sort of new team. Same bike. I was talking to him at press day, at a press conference, I should say, and he was at some point we were talking about the changes to the bike, and he's got a different exhaust, and he went to the new frame. Not because anything like Troy Lee did, just he liked it better. He's at Baker's Factory, as we know, and all of that. And then he, at the end of the conversation or near the end of the conversation, we were talking about, you know, what's going to happen to KTM and the race teams. And he was like, yeah, probably some people are going to lose some jobs. That sucks. So, you know, I don't know if he meant himself or, you know, what's going to happen there. But
commenting on the financial situation?
Well, just on, yeah, I mean, in a way, it wasn't.
You shouldn't ask him that.
I wasn't asking him the financial situation. I was just like, what are they going to do with these race teams? So, but six is good for Bam Bam. Tomac got him last lap. Fans love that. Fans are all over that. And, you know, I was rubbing my hands together like RV looking at the Barcia Eli battle in the last lap. But sixth is good for him for sure. And Justin Cooper, seventh. Cooper's probably not happy. He dropped back. I don't exactly know what happened. I don't think he crashed. Did you guys see anything?
No, I didn't.
I did not. No.
He was third.
To be fair, I wasn't watching. I wasn't watching that battle.
I think he was third, Cooper, early. Third or fourth. And just got seventh. So don't know what happened, but yeah, probably not stoked on it. And then Justin Hill, eighth, because he's back.
I don't have any answers for you. There is no way to possibly give an answer on Justin Hill. It's impossible.
Is he on the new bike? They had the older bike for years.
I'm assuming that his bike is the same year as the wrap.
Okay. All right. Fair enough.
That's all I have.
The wrap's the same. If anybody's wondering, we each took a photo of it on Friday, Thursday for me also. Wrap's the same. Ted's not done anything to it. But eighth is legit, and I think this is for real. You guys do too, right? Like, he's just this good.
He looks pretty damn good, man.
It's just so... Oh, man.
Listen, if you're going to ask me any question, you're going to get a lot of uncertainty from me.
And also, on the results, we have a new results page, okay? We have new people doing the results for 2025. Justin Hill just says Riverton. There's no state listed. So Is Riverton in Oregon?
I think it's Wyoming.
Okay. He's in Wyoming.
I feel like we often don't know his state, so.
Exactly. Good point. AP ninth. I don't know what happened. He just was always, I mean, I think he fell early.
I think this is Anaheim one, man. I think somebody's got to get ninth.
If you look at the lap charts, he dropped many positions on lap two. So might have tipped over.
Oh, okay.
He was invisible to me all day, which is crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hard to miss.
I agree.
I did not see a lot of him.
Yep. Malcolm got 10th, and I guarantee if you asked Malcolm as he was flipping through the air in the heat race, would you take a 10th tonight? After he hit the ground, he would have said yes.
Oh, for sure. No question. That was a gritty performance.
Okay, so he had to go to the LCQ. I want to ask you guys a question we were debating in the pits. When Ferrandis in the LCQ was in qualifying spot and tried to go around Ryan Brees from Arena Cross and just of Ryan Brees fame, when he tried to go around the outside and got put over a berm, do either one of you think he knew who he was going up against when he tried that?
I don't think he knows who Ryan Brees is right now.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think he knows.
He thinks he's Brian Reese.
I don't, because like, there's no way he's thinking that's Ryan Brees. I'm gonna try, like, that's never gonna work. What he just tried.
You don't go around outside of anybody in the LCQ, man.
No.
So
no, but Steve, what you're saying is Brees is extra DF.
Yeah.
He is built for that kind of combat.
Yeah, yeah,
that
yeah.
Is what Brees is.
Like, there's yes. Freeze and Brees.
But Ferrandis does not know this.
He's in form. He's in mid-season takeout form.
There's Freeze and Brees, and they're on the same team, and everybody knows what the story is. Now, Brees isn't, like, known for Vince things. He's just aggressive and DGAF, as you said, Weege. And Ferrandis sees a three-digit guy and is like, this loser, I'm going to go right around the outside of him. Brees is like, oh, no, no, sir. That you are not going to go. I don't care who you are. Right?
That's a really bad decision by Ferrandis.
Yeah, but so the debate was, did he do that knowing who Brees was, or did he just not even know the dude?
No.
Right. Okay.
Zero chance there was like a, no, this is an Arena Cross guy. No.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Yeah. No. So you're with me. I said the same thing. Weed, you agree?
No way.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. He's just like, get this loser out of the way. I'm going to the front. Ferrandis is thinking that. Yeah.
No, I think he's just like, no, he's not going to take me out in this spot. But, like, I mean, Ferrandis doesn't really ride LCQs very often. That's
what happens when
you go to the outside in LCQ, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, all right. Yeah, that's what
the related story, watching Mookie on the first lap, it was just, I mean, it was, there's, I think reality shows built around, is this Fear Factor? Was that the Joe Rogan show?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mookie tiptoeing his way around the first three quarters of a lap and not running into the back of people and not getting cross-jumped. It was just great entertainment to watch.
That's the name of the game.
Well, it's Josh Grant versus JT. Salt Lake.
No, well, I disagree. I think when you are a guy that has speed to burn, like you're the fastest guy in the LCQ, unequivocally, or you know, there's another factory guy, whatever.
Yeah.
The only thing you can't do is go down. You can't put yourself in a bad spot. You can't start 17th. You can't. Outside of that, all you have to do is just put in decent laps and stay out of the carnage, and you're going to find yourself in. Just don't force anything. Don't do anything stupid. Don't be your own worst enemy, and you're going to be fine. And that Malcolm did a great job of all those things. So kudos to him for just remaining patient.
I did see Kyle Peters there. I wonder if Dylan came back. Kyle Peters said, excuse me, sir, let me allow you to pull up some highlights here of the gentleman you just tried that with.
Oh, that is such a good point. They had Peters, yeah, working for the team for the weekend as their video guy. Surely he talked to him about this.
I don't think there was much communication there, no.
No, after.
Oh, after, yes, probably.
I'm hitting up KP right now.
Okay. I asked Ferrandis.
That is gold.
I asked Ferrandis. In Paris, we talked quite a bit because he's a good dude, Dylan. And
yeah.
I talked to him in Paris. I said, dude, I came to find you like almost every weekend last year, and you were gone. Like, I never talked to you all year long. And he says, because I was shit. And I was like, okay, man, but I still want to talk to you. Like, so I didn't try to talk to him after this weekend because I think he was shit again. So, Ferrandis and Nichols, no main event. JT, we had a heated Ferrandis, not you and I, but we had a heated Nichols versus McElrath talk on the fantasy show. So.
Yeah. Nichols, I mean, you crash on the start in the heat. That's not going to work. And then terrible start in the LCQ. Like, you can't do that. You can't do it.
All right, Hunter and Jet, 11th and 12th. I feel like we talked about them enough, right? Anything else?
Well, we gotta make sure we don't talk about them too much in the wrong episode.
Okay. Shane McElrath, 13th. Shane is on only a 5 or 6 race deal with these guys, a quad lock Honda. By the way, JT, I said this earlier, like, Firepower, it's a WPS company. Reeve was Firepower Honda for a number of years, and people are still calling them Firepower Honda, which is what happens when you have a long-term sponsor.
Yeah, it's Firepower Honda.
Yeah, and so great job on that, because people were calling it Firepower Honda this weekend. So.
Yeah, no, I'll still do it.
Right.
Not on TV, but I'll still do it.
So Shane's on a 5 or 6 race deal with these guys right now. He turned down Mad Parts Cowie full ride to gamble with the quad lock guys. So that'll be interesting to see if he keeps going or how that works.
When you say gamble, do you mean sports betting?
No, I do not mean that.
Okay.
No gambling. I don't know what you're talking about.
I don't think it was just the gamble of getting a ride here with the Reeves quad lock or Firepower team. I think it was obviously to also ride for your Reeve during the offseason and make a ton of money in WSX and OSX.
No,
I think,
but
that was the reason for this decision.
No, but he could have just won all that money for OSX and WSX and then got to the Mad Parts team.
No, I was told that was not an option.
Oh, okay. My bad.
That was not an option.
All right.
Yep.
I did not know that. So your Reeve is basically saying you have to ride for me for Supercross to get paid for World Supercross in Aussie?
No. I believe the Mad Parts team both pumped on him leaving for 2 months.
Oh.
Riding for somebody else.
Oh, okay.
And ride another bike or whatever. I think they just wanted to focus on, hey, we're hiring you to race AMA Supercross.
Someone,
on that.
Someone told me he made like $250,000 in the offseason. Shane did.
Not, yeah, so I think
not bad.
I think that's why he went to that team.
Not bad. Not bad for Shane McElrath. Yeah. He rode pretty good, though, 13th.
Next time you interview him, though, I mean, dude, he raced more than anybody last year. He raced about as much as JT has raced. Like, he's got to be right up there with the amount of races of anyone in history. He raced. He's the only guy that did every, unless you count Sexton going out in the first, the final race, he's the only guy that did all 31 rounds, and he did all of Australia, and he did all of WSX. It's not even close.
Yeah, good points. Yeah. JT was doing double and triple headers in Germany, though, sir. So
yeah, it's not that level, but it's got to be up there. Got to be up there.
Also, if anybody's listening, other news broke just before Anaheim that Barry Karsten's on a Cowie. If anybody can DM me, is this true? Because we're getting conflicting reports.
I'd rather not know.
Okay, all right. We need to know. Okay.
Yeah, I did accost the team manager of Team Green. I will not name him, but I did accost him. He might have been on holiday when I did this, but it was right over Christmas time, and I was not happy, but he assured me this has nothing to do with him. If he does not even know.
Oh, no.
If
okay.
It's true.
Okay, so he couldn't confirm it. Okay.
No, he did not know anything about this, because I was like, don't you dare do this to us.
All right, I'm going to text the other Suzuki guy. All right, so yeah, good job, Shane McElrath. Jorge Prado, I don't know, man. I don't know, man. Like, I don't think it was good. I had people who tell me it was good. I don't think it was good at all. Okay?
I mean, the heat was great.
Uh-huh.
Main event wasn't as good. The main event was kind of what I expected. Really good start. Bite people off as he moved his way backwards. You know, the crash was why he got 14.
Yeah.
But you know, he would have been, you know, 8-9.
Yeah, he was 7th when he went down.
Yeah.
Don't you think that...
That's kind of what I expected. That's what we talked about all along.
Man.
It literally was great starts. Fights guys off, which is his specialty, and he was terrible in the whoops. So it's almost like exactly what it should have been.
This is going to be a bit harsh, okay?
Uh-oh.
Oh, wow.
He looked like a better version of Vince.
Oh, that's so bad.
Dude, there were everybody who got by him just pulled away, and then there was like dudes stacked up behind him.
And but we said that's what was going to happen.
Okay, but everybody gets mad at Vince for this. Everybody gets mad at Vince about this stuff.
But Prado wasn't running people off the track and cross jumping.
He was cross jumping. He absolutely was cross jumping. I noticed it a couple times. Yes.
Okay.
But again, cross jumping is weird. Like sometimes you get out of kicked, and sometimes you don't. You know, you don't always mean it. Like, so it's
Vince
hard.
Does.
Okay, thank you. But I don't know, man.
I don't feel anything other than this is exactly what we thought would happen. That's it. Like, he's going to get good starts. He's not as good at Supercross as all these guys that are all healthy and raring to go. And he's going to get shuffled back, and it's going to be okay, and everybody needs to take a deep breath when he gets 10th. It's not that big of a deal.
Okay, Weege, do you want to talk about your source of Cowie about Prado?
Yeah, I mean, I went over and talked to Oscar, the crew chief, and Bruce, and they're not hiding anything. They said they're so patient about this. They told them, we don't even want you to beat any other factory riders.
Think about that, JC. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I'm there. I'm there with them. Like, I don't think that Monster Energy Supercross in 2025 is the reason he's here. So don't let it be that it screws up Pro Motocross. That's all they're saying when they tell him that.
Don't beat any factory riders.
What they're saying is, we want you to be good in Supercross in 2027. And the only way you're going to get better is by racing the races.
Do all the races. Yep.
So if you want to fight and try to finish seventh, and you crash, and then you miss half the season, you blew it. Now, that's not the words they said, but that's the point. That's why they're like, we're not putting any pressure on you to get any result at all. Don't crash and get hurt. Do the laps.
The only thing you can't do is set yourself back.
Jump.
That's the only thing you can't do. Everything else is progress.
Jump the jumps?
Jump the jumps. Yeah. Now, the thing is, the only difference is what you said, JT, is, which this is the number one question I wanted to know. This is not a pro motocross play. Bruce from Cowie truly believes that by 2027, Prado will be as good as anybody in Supercross. That is their vision. You can agree or not agree. That's what they think. But they know that if you get hurt in between, it's not going to happen.
I do not agree.
I don't personally agree. But I think he will be a lot better than he is right now. I can take a half measure with them.
Yeah.
Look, JT and I agree.
Well, what we all agree on is if you want to be that good 2 years from now, you have to not get hurt right now.
Yep.
JT and I agreeing again.
Very critical time of improvement.
Agreeing again, JT and I. Another agreement.
Wow.
Yep.
2025.
Yep, absolutely.
It's all happening.
All right, so speaking of Vince, 15th for Vince. A quiet 15th. Oldenburg, 16th.
Everybody will take that.
Oldenburg, 16th on the beta. Did you guys see my Instagram story? About the beta?
No.
If it was yesterday, probably not. No. I wasn't on my phone much.
It was today. But it was taken yesterday, but it was from today. I didn't realize this. I'm a year late to the program. To remove the beta seat, you just push a button.
Oh, I did see that.
Dude, it's like a video game. You just push a button. It's like a carny game. You could, on the line, if you didn't like Benny or Matt or him, you could push the button and have their seat pop off. And be like, ha ha, watch this.
They're sitting on it.
Well, no, just say they're you know, not sitting on it, whatever. I mean, even if they're sitting on it, it's going to relatch. It's going to unlatch if they're sitting on it. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, you could also grab their front brake when they're trying to do a start.
Okay. So much for the 2025 pact. Already going sideways.
I mean, I like that you found that about the beta. I just think somebody playing a prank or another rider sabotaging them by hitting the button while they're getting ready to go race is probably unlikely.
We each just push a button on the beta.
You should tell Joey that. Give him that intel.
Yeah, that'd be good, right?
Because what happened?
Joey took Benny out. Joey says, I don't know, man. I was wide open to the inside of him, and he came down on me and took us out. And Benny's like, it was a brutal takeout, and he didn't say anything. And I was all for it. I'm starting it now. Benny Bloss, Joey Savacci feud starts now. And they were down for 20 minutes trying to untie their bikes.
20 minutes.
Because Joey said Benny wasn't helping. He was just standing there. And and Joey said he had, had to tell the flagger to come help, and he wasn't. And he had to pull the clutch in and roll the wheel back, and Benny just standing there. Benny said Joey viciously took him out. Joey said, I don't know, dude. I was wide open, and he should have heard me on the inside. So I'm here for this.
Vince, I'm just saying, Vince, while they're laying in the ground, take the seat off.
Yeah, yeah.
Vince took me out in 2011 at Phoenix before I went to Glendale when we were downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And I just stood like for like two laps. Wouldn't get off it.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. It's just like no, screw you, man. Like we're staying right here, right here. I'm not going anywhere.
Neither one of us.
Was he riding for a Tony Alesi team at this time?
I don't think Tony was there. He was Moto Concepts, but it wasn't Tony yet.
Oh, the irony that would have been.
Okay, so also, by the way, I talked to the beta guys. I don't know where I said this. It might have been on this show. It might have been. I talk a lot. I say a lot of things. They want, and they're not pissed, but I said one time they're not factory. Because I was always in the assumption that beta got bikes out of the crate and just modified everything themselves, like suspension, and Brian White does the motors, and you know they do everything. There's no actual parts from the Italian company. And I even checked with Ben Watson one time, and Ben Watson's like, no, they don't have anything that we have, blah, blah, blah. And they wanted to assure me that they do indeed get parts from Italy, like motor work and parts, special parts.
So but it is a different subsidiary. It's not Beta Europe running the team.
No, but
so it is different.
Beta Europe is sending race parts to USA.
Right.
Because I was telling them, to me, a factory team means you get parts that no one else can get. Special
like
parts.
Like factory transmissions?
Yes, like factory transmissions. and so they were like, you know, basically saying I said they weren't factory, and I just want to put that out there that what they told me.
So I was definitely getting stuff from the MXGP side for Husqvarna, and Ricky told me to my face that my bike wasn't factory. So there's that.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. So Oldenburg was 16th. Mitchell did what Mitchell does. 16th, steady laps. Is Mitchell Harrison the Tevin Tappy Award winner? I think he is, right?
Nah, he's better than that, I think.
You do? Okay.
Yeah, all he's right. Better than that.
But yeah, Lance would have gotten it if he made it, but he didn't make it.
No, yeah.
Anytime anybody like that gets in A1, it's impressive. We always see it. Yep. It always happens. But I think Harrison's, I don't know, he was like a pretty solid 250 guy for a while.
Yeah, he was a factory. Yep.
Yeah.
Freddie Norn's 33 now, so now he's Josh Grant. He went from Chad to Josh Grant.
Like Josh Grant.
Yep.
It did.
Yep. So he's 33 now, Fast Freddy. And Freddy got in through the LCQ.
He's gone. Whole shot.
Oh, yeah. Dude, that's what we do. Ryan Breese, 19th. Chiz announced it was his final year on Instagram. He did a video. But I just thought he was trying to raffle off a bike or something, so I didn't watch the video. So then...
I thought he was flipping a house.
Yeah, exactly. You never... Yeah, right, exactly. I thought his chick won a car or something. I don't know. But so... he announced it was his final year of racing, and then I didn't know that because, again, I just scroll through the video. I don't care about your flipping of the house, Chiz, or your raffle. And then he put on Instagram last A1, and then I'm like, what? Like, what? And then I found him on track walking. This is it. He may race again, like, here and there because he's Chiz. He's Barry. If there's money, he may jump in, but this is his last full season. So there goes my hero, Kyle Chisholm.
How many parties will we have at the end?
I don't know. Good point.
And there's a very high standard that has been set.
Yeah. Did you hear that asshole's doing the Canadian Nationals now?
No way.
Yeah, he's got a full ride.
Oh, my God.
God, sounds... it's official.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Dude.
Retirement, re-schmirement.
Chiz 20th. Chiz said he just rode around out there. The only guys he beat were the guys that were down for 20 minutes untangling their bikes. But sad to see Chiz go out, but have a good season, Chiz. And Chiz,
time. He's had an incredible career.
Yeah, he has. You're right. Also, too, Benny told me, I didn't realize this, Benny has never made an Anaheim 1. This was in 10 tries.
Dude.
He's never made an Anaheim 1 until this year. Now, he DNF'd because his throttle was broke because of Savachi's takeout. But it's baby steps. He did make the main for the first time in Anaheim 1. I did not know this. I had no idea. But
my mind was blown when I listened to that interview and he said that. I was like, well, what?
Yep. Crashes or who knows, whatever, with Benny. But I had no idea. So he was nervous, JT. He said he was nervous all day.
Yeah, I mean, it's he has had an anvil fall on his head many, many times.
Yep.
Just how it's gone.
Yep. So I've been over there. I might keep going over there and really get going because I want to get Benny going that because he's a Chiefs fan and he's Benny. I want to get going that Oldenburg is the number one rider on the team. So I'm starting that now.
Yeah. Just so – such an instigator. So incendiary.
Also, I had a good talk with Jeff Bloss. Did you guys see Jeff?
I did not see him. I wish I did.
Oh, Jeff. Yeah, Jeff was there. He paid me my $100 from the Raiders chief bets a month ago or so. And so 3 years ago, I bet Jeff $100 that the Raiders would beat the Chiefs. Or who knows if I bet the spread. I have no idea. So I lost. So I had to pay Jeff $100 at a race. He made me sign the bill and said he was going to put it up in his office and whatever. Turns out he did not put it up in his office. He just kept it in his wallet for 3 years, 2 or 3 years. So he came to Anaheim.
Like
he came to Anaheim 1 this year, whipped out my signed $100 bill that I gave him and said, here you go. Jeff Bloss. And then he did say, when I was making fun of the Chiefs, he said, you know, I could karate kick you in the ear right now. I said, yes, you can. And then I stopped making fun of the Chiefs. But so, all right. That's 450 talk. Anything else?
We're on to San Diego.
Thank you to the folks at motorsport.com. Go through the banner on Pulp MX to help us out. And OEM and aftermarket parts there at motorsport.com. Fly Racing, Renthal, Maxxis, all available there at motorsport.com. Great prices, dedicated team of gearheads there to help you out. Thank you to the Motorsport guys for all that they do. Renthal and Maxxis, I talked about off the top. Fly Racing as well. Use the code PULPMX when you're checking out at Fly Racing, flyracing.com. From the wild to the mild, Fly Racing will have you covered. Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, Chance Hymus, Joey Savacci, Shane McElrath, Ryder D, new fly guy as well this year. So thank you to the folks at Fly Racing. Check out their gear. Check out their colors and lines and everything else. And use the code when you're checking out. So thank you to those guys. And Weege, Onyx Maps.
Yeah, Onyx Maps, as always, got half a bazillion, no, I think it's a million miles of trails mapped out. Mountain bike trails, hiking trails, single track and adventure bike type trails, UTV trails. You cannot find this stuff on Apple Maps or Google Maps. Go to onxmaps.com or onx offroad in the App Store. You take a free trial. If you want to subscribe to it, we'll give you a discount if you type in the word RacerX. And they're always innovating, adding horses. You can even watch them with off-road tips. Really, really enthusiasts. So if you're into off-road stuff, this is your place.
All right. Fantastic. Again, Fly Racing, RacerX Podcast, Anaheim 1 Review. 250 class, Levi Kitchen was the big story, I think, early on. Just running from Deegs. Decided he was too good and went to the East. Sad.
Oh, this is it. This is the actual facts.
Oh, I got it. If you don't think I got that in my DMs.
Oh, my gosh.
I got one that said, Kitch is a little kitty going to East, which I kind of laughed. Kitch is a little kitty. So,
I mean, he knew that Teagues was riding west for a while.
Yeah, but I guess he was like, he didn't ride press day, but to the bed bugs, he was up on the upper deck with binoculars, saw Deegs' speed, press day, pulled out.
No, he's on the roof.
Yeah, he's on the roof. And
he was going to snipe him. But instead, he's just like, you know what? I'm watching his speed. And
I got nothing.
It is odd. I don't remember a situation quite like this.
Yeah, he did ride the first session.
He didn't do this because of Deegs, but I'm saying it is odd.
Yeah, they did, and they did. He did ride the first session. Was not good, and then didn't come back out. So,
And I went over to ask in the morning, and he was pitting out of a sprinter van. I presume to keep his contagion away from the rest of the staff,
mm-hmm.
which I've also not seen maybe ever. I don't know. Maybe it's happened before, but it's pretty rare to see that.
Was Dustin Hoffman there with a mask on?
Well, I went to Mitch and I said, is he going to ride today? And Mitch is like, what do you mean? And I'm like, well, you know, he didn't ride yesterday and we were told it's because he's ill. So is he okay or what's he going to do? And Mitch says, he didn't ride yesterday because he was at the hospital signing autographs for sick children. And I'm like, oh, so the rest of these guys are jerks for even having gone out there. And he's like, yeah.
Wow.
Because like, they weren't signing autographs. He's like, exactly.
Yeah. That's great. I like it. We had Faulkner pull out, Kitch pulled out, and like honestly, I'll say it: like the West is, it's definitely not that deep, JT. It's not that deep.
It's not. It's weird to say that. You know, you don't know if it's circumstance. I truly don't believe people are running from Deegan because when you look at the East lineup, that's not a walk in the park. Like,
yeah.
No one would want to sign up for that level of depth. So I don't know. Weird year, man. I think a lot of people are probably really frustrated that they didn't just go race west right now.
All right, we'll get to my guy winning right away, but we got to talk about Deegs. And, yeah, so made a mistake in Supercross? Made a mistake, guys, in Supercross race?
You think that
you're
going to
put this in that category.
You think that was a mistake, okay. All right.
I mean, when you start in the back with the turkey, sometimes you get jerked around.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Just, not listen, I'm just saying, like Doug Henry.
How many times did he do that outdoors? High point?
Yeah,
how many times did he come from 23rd to win?
It's more room.
Outdoors.
More room to move around.
But that doesn't have anything to do with him.
More room. He can make more lines. He can get through the pack easier. He can do all that.
That doesn't have anything to do with him.
What do you mean? What are you talking about?
You're saying he made a mistake. And I'm saying that he got bad starts or crashed on the first lap outdoors. The same thing. He just had more time to do something about it in Supercross. Yeah.
More time, more wider track. He's better.
But your whole thesis is he makes mistakes in Supercross. And he's not figuring it out.
Oh, I got you. Yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah. Well, his mistakes cost him more in Supercross. Look, he cut fifth, and there's no panic. There's no panic button. I don't know if either one of you have a panic button ready, but put it away because he's fast. But,
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Cool, man. Good. Thank you.
Did you use that next weekend?
Yeah. I'm going to put him in the list of the fat dudes.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Put him in that list. But look, man, made a mistake and got
you're
fifth, and he's fine, and he's fine, and he's going to win, but, you know?
This is not that. This is crazy talk. Like, you can have your delusional take here, but this isn't that. Like, if he was running top three, and they were going around, and he lost the front end and crashed of his own accord, I'd be like, yeah, man, I'm going to take an L. Like, I'm not saying forever, but that's a little beep in your column. This wasn't that. And please don't try to make it that.
Any concern?
No.
Okay. Weej?
So much for you and JT in 2025.
No, we're fine. We're fine. I just said he's fast. He's fast. He's fast. He rode really well. Shock, did you think Shock was going to get a little more aggressive, or what did you guys think of that last turn move? It's fine. Like, whatever.
Go ahead, Weege.
I didn't think Shock was going to do it. I was so lucky. I had no one to watch with. I hung out with you guys for a little bit. And then I went over to the Adam and Justin booth, but they were on headsets, so I was just standing there by myself. And then one other guy in the stadium had no one else to watch the race with. Only one other guy. Everybody else came with their friends, or they were in the press box, or whatever. There's one other random guy in this stadium walking around with no one to watch the main event with, and his name was Jeremy McGrath.
Wow.
I don't understand. He just walks into the room by himself. He's like, hey, what's up? And then we just start watching the race together.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess eventually he was going to announce the 450 main event, so he just came up early, but I'm like, this is the weirdest thing. So we're just chilling. We're just chilling, watching the race, and no, I can't remember your question, but he actually answered it because I asked him 100 things. So what was your question?
Are you worried about Deegs?
Oh, yeah, he's not worried about Deegs. Oh, the shock.
Did you think shock?
Oh, the shock thing. Yeah.
Shock. Yeah, McGrath was disappointed. He's like, he could have stuffed him. He should have stuffed him. But I don't think Shock has that in him. I don't think Shock's that kind of guy.
And I kind of expected it to end the way it did. But McGrath was disappointed.
He needs to shock the system a little bit. I mean, Deegs broke his collarbone.
He did, but I hate to say this class, like, everybody asked for someone to give it back to Deegs. It doesn't happen.
JT,
he went in there with ill intentions. My analysis on it is that he went in there once Deegs commits wide open,
mm-hmm.
you basically have to sign up for injuring him. And I think in the end, Cody Shock said, if I execute this, if I finish it, he's getting hurt. I'll probably never have another Yamaha contract for as long as I live. He made the right decision in the end. And this is the differentiator. If Deegan checks up there and hits the brakes, Cody's going to go through with it because it's going to slow everything down. And okay, maybe someone crashes, but it's not a huge deal. When Deegan commits to it wide open and is like, I'm going for it, you just have to know you're going to hurt the guy if you hit him. Deegs, you're going to hurt him.
Deegs is in that movie. Let's dance, mother effer, whatever movie that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, Deegan said, you're not going to do it. I know you're not going to do it, which is that's a big risk to take when the everyone's expecting him to win championships. But I do think that Cody did the right thing, and it's a split-second decision, but it's a really high-level race tactic, racecraft thing where he's just like, I can't. I'm not willing to hurt him right here. And that's exactly what's going to happen if I go through with it.
I had my own kind of moment like that too. Not like with McGrath, but that, which is awesome. But I was going to watch practice. I put this on my Instagram story, JT, so I'll tell you because Weege knows already. But I was going to watch practice, second set of practices or last set of practices. And I'm walking the thing, and there is RJ, Wardy, and Stanton just broing down, outside, just talking. And I'm just like, hold on. B practice for 250 unseated riders can wait. Like, just what are these three talking about? Like, what are these three talking about? It was pretty cool.
Might skip the mains.
Yeah, really, right? It's awesome. It's so awesome. I mean, RJ's awesome. Wardy's just gnarly. Stan's not. Just love it. I love that part of this Anaheim's, So. Yeah,
that was my highlight of the whole day. I ran into Stanton, and then later I ran into Wardy and RJ. But what I was bummed that I didn't get them together. You got them together.
Yeah.
I wanted all three. I got one, and then I got two.
Yeah, and they were laughing and joking and talking about and then they're asking me about the practice and what I think, and I'm just like...
Wait, they didn't ask me.
Well, they're asking me, and I'm like, I'm just like, holy shit, I don't know. It's cool. It's so cool. It's just, we're so old. Like, this is showing our age, but so.
Steve is one of the most cynical people I've ever met. But in that moment, he would look like he's 9 years old.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Steve, you know how when we have Bradshaw on shows, we just have him play the hits and we ask him the same.
Yeah.
Cue him up on the same story over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that's what I was doing with it. Like, I was asking them the same things with the same races that I've asked them over. Just loving it. Just tell me the stories again, guys.
Rubbing your hands together, being, like, injected inside of me.
I was like, tell me about the Del Taco when Wardy didn't make the main in 86, and then he moved to Del Taco to drown in his sorrows, and then he heard the stadium going berserk.
Yeah.
And I was like, what are they cheering so much for? And it was the epic Bailey and RJ duel. And that Del Taco's still there, which makes it hilarious because this is 40 years ago. And I heard him tell me the story over and over, but I'm like, could you tell me it again?
The only thing with Damon is like, Damon's like, I don't know. With these guys, they know. Like, Damon's just one of those guys. So speaking of legends.
Yeah, Marty and RJ know. Yeah.
Speaking of legends, JT, I got a text from a legend not happy that second and third didn't get interviewed and Deegs did.
Just on TV, probably.
Yes.
I mean, we definitely interviewed them, but
TV.
Must have cut it.
TV.
Wait, what?
No, we interviewed them on TV. For sure we did, because I did first and third.
Okay, stadium. In the stadium.
Well, yeah, to the house. I have no idea what they're doing.
But they played JT's interview to the house.
Okay, did they?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, supposed to.
Yeah, I heard Jordan Smith get interviewed.
Okay, I mean,
he definitely did him on TV.
I will.
1,000,000%.
I'll text this legend back. Not happy.
Yeah. It's the world we live in, man.
Yeah, I don't think that's true. There's no.
Okay.
The only time that would ever possibly ever happen is if we were super late because of something, but we weren't.
Okay. All right. I didn't watch the interview, so I don't remember. But
now Ryder D got fourth, and he did not get interviewed, and he didn't get interviewed.
That's fine.
Fifth.
I get that.
And, yeah. Once it's off the podium, you're just like, we got a story here.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, the whole thing about it, I saw a bunch of tweets and whatever, like, why are we interviewing fifth? You know, whatever. It's hate me, man. It's the same thing as Jet. The people want to hear from the stars of the sport.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
Period. End of story. That's your answer. You don't have to like it, but don't ask the question because it's a really simple answer.
This isn't a Quattanaro versus Dogger thing, which was a disgrace to the sport. I get that. Like, that makes sense. Absolutely. So. Okay. All right. Let's keep going here. Joe Schmoder, we won. We ride the same all the time, and we look great. And I thought Beaumaire was going to have something for him. I really did, because Julian rode really well all day long, and you know, won the heat. And I wasn't 100% sold on Joe, you know, as a guy. So full props to Joe Schmoder. Now he's points leader. Now he's going to ride all the same all the time.
It was quite the statement. It was like the number one tag. He literally did the exact opposite.
Yep. Yep. And Juju had fast at the test track vibes, and he pulled through. He looks like a new guy. Still working with Millsaps and, you know, still KTM and really stepped up. So good job for Julian.
Where are we on Shimoda working with Eric Sorby?
Is that confirmed?
Pretty sure.
That was confirmed by you, Steve.
No. It was confirmed by another gentleman.
Oh, I'm pretty sure that's a thing.
No, it was in another group. It was another person in that group text that confirmed that.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He quits a bunch of jobs, the one who was saying it. He gets good jobs and then quits.
I did not have that on my demo card.
I didn't either.
To be real honest with you.
I didn't either. No.
But whatever, he won the damn race, so what do I know?
Yeah. Yeah, Joe obviously worked with Nick for a long time, but now he's in Sandbox, and... Why he's not at the Lawrence compound, that's probably a whole story. I don't really know what happened. I have no idea. But I would assume he'd go to Lawrence compound, and he's not. He's at Sandbox. So I don't know. But and working with Sorby. But he rides the same all the time. Juju walked in with a fur coat, a white fur coat or a white sort of coat. Do you guys see that?
Yeah. It's very NFL.
Yeah. And so then I got a DM from somebody that said he took it from a French jet skier who had the same coat. So... Me being basically the best journalist in the sport, I confronted Juju on this and said, you are, you know, copying this French jet ski racer who had that exact same coat. And he said, oh, no, my dad was that guy's mechanic and that guy bought me this coat. So he did not. Like, it was fine.
It's pretty awesome, that story.
It was. Yeah. It was fine to do that. So he didn't just try to rip it off like the guy endorsed it. And he was, say, paying homage to the French jet skier.
That was cool.
Okay.
I do want to mention, Steve, at the very end of your interview with him, I just want to give a little note here. As a professional broadcaster, unlike you, he is Juju, and we call him Juju, and he asked to be called Juju. But don't shorten it, because your interview at the end, you said, thanks, Jew.
I did?
Yeah, so you might want to watch that one.
Okay, yeah, my bad. My bad.
Just professional advice.
Yeah, thank you. I do not want to be canceled.
Thanks, Jew.
Jeez. Are you sure? Okay. All right. Jordan Smith, Triumph's first podium. Good job, Jordan. We knew he'd be good. Jordan's a professional. He said, even though he's old, you know, you never quite know Anaheim 1 how you're doing, and he's likes experience, but really likes the bike. And good job, Jordan Smith and Triumph. So. I didn't think Ryder D was going to get caught. Like, Jordan made a mistake. He didn't crash, right? He screwed up in that sand. And then Ryder D got by him. Ryder D was riding really well. And then I was surprised that Jordan reeled him in and got him. So that part was impressive because it was late in the race and Jordan stole a podium away from Ryder D. So
I was talking to Ivan Tedesco during practice Saturday, and he was talking about how impressed he was with Jordan this offseason. Just the effort and the speed and the consistency. So I kind of was set up for a good result from Jordan from Ivan.
Yep.
It was good to hear.
Yep. I like Jordan a lot. I got a lot of time for Jordan Smith. Good dude. Tries hard.
Good person.
Good guy. So good to see him pull through and all of that. Ryder D fourth, Hayden fifth, Shock sixth. Shock, I mean, that's good. That's the first non-factory guy, sixth place, ahead of Marchbanks, who is a factory guy who went down. That's what Cody needs to do, and he can get higher there too. He got into the main on the last corner of the last heat race. He fell down early in the heat. And last lap, heat race, got ninth. So he snuck it out of there. Bourdon, Fly Racing Zone, Anthony Bourdon. Didn't notice him a whole lot there on Yamaha now. Rode well. Cole Davies was, I'm really deep in the amateur stuff. And even I thought Cole Davies moving up this soon was a little soon. And he was really good all day. And he came from him, Deegs, and Moseman were basically 19th, 20th, and 21st on the first lap, and Deegs got up higher, obviously, but Cole Davies coming back to 8th is really good. I think this kid gets a podium. Either one of you disagree?
He sure looks awesome on the bike, dude. He can ride Supercross. Damn.
I was very unsure of this move, and I am very, very sure of this move now.
Yeah. Yeah, he looked great all day. How old is he?
I want to say he's 19.
I think he's either 17 or 18.
Okay. I can't believe Blair let him
go. He's really young.
No wonder. I can't believe Blair let him go.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. No wonder why KTM, let Blair go. Jesus. Also, can I have a little mini rant? I've done this before on this show, and you guys know I'm not a traditionalist. Like, I like triple crowns. And I like going away from 20-lap mains. And I'm not some old man yelling at clouds, right? I'm not that way. Sometimes I can be. But I'm not stuck in, like, the 1970s. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, I actually would.
Thank you.
I'd say stuck in the 80s.
Okay, I'm not stuck in the 80s either. But I really, and I've said this rant before, I really, really, really don't like giving Cole Davies or Josh Hansen or whoever the 100, the 101s, and the 111s. I don't like that. That's ridiculous. I think the AMA should immediately take his number away.
I agree, actually.
Thank you. Thank you, Weege.
The problem is I don't know what rule you could actually point, but yes, I feel like the 100 is usually reserved for legends returning that don't have a number.
Yeah. Exactly. 100.
That was set in motion. The first famous 100 was Bob Hanna coming back from water ski injury. So that's setting the bar as high as the bar can possibly be set.
JMB.
As good as anyone's ever been.
JMB 111. Stefan Everts 111. Trampas Parker as a world champion 101.
Yeah, what was Tortelli when he won LA? 103?
103. I don't know about that one. But,
103. But my point is I feel like that batch.
Yeah.
I'd say anything from 100 to 111 has got a reserve for like super good P Euro dudes, legends coming back that don't have a three-digit number, something like that.
Yeah. And like, again, Hanny and I are good. We're good. But somehow he started with the 100. And no disrespect to Hanny, but garbage. Garbage call. Garbage rule by the AMA. Keep these numbers for special guys that come back. Cole Davies, 17 years old, gets 100, like just shits on the legacy of 100.
Mike Brown came back from GPs.
Yep, thank you. 100. 100.
Yeah.
Yep.
So you want to keep 100. You want it to be keeping 100.
I want to 100.
You want to keep 100, keeping it 100?
Yeah. So I want to do 100,
okay.
111.
Keep it a buck here? That's what the kids would say. Can we keep it a buck here?
Oh, it used to be keeping it 100. That's why it's an emoji.
Yeah, no. I know. It's morphed a little into keeping it a buck.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know, man, but that's mid. That's a mid take.
It's mid. Yeah.
It is mid.
So 100, 101, and 111. That's just the three I want. I don't care about the other ones. Whatever Weege wants to do. Oh, Guess who also got 100? The great Bud Man, the great Buddy Antonis, coming back arena cross champion into the sport. 100.
Yeah, that's good.
So,
yep.
JT, are we going to continue on this harmony of 2025?
I think that it should be reserved for someone, yes.
Thank you.
But in the spirit of they like to give it to foreigners, he is foreign.
Oh, jeez.
No, one problem. This is one problem, Steve, if you're going to have this take. There is one other very successful number 100. And the problem is it is very similar to this. Extremely similar. Ernesto Fonseca was 100 when he dominated as a rookie in 1999.
Yeah.
On the Yamaha. That's
God, he kicked our ass, too. I was in that East Coast.
Yeah, he was really good, right, JT?
That bike was sick.
That bike was sick.
He should not have had 100 either.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Also, the great Mark Barnett came back. Didn't work well. Guess what he was? 101. The great Mark Barnett. Okay, that's my rant. It's stupid. Take these numbers back. And who's 111, too? There's a 111.
Yes, sir.
Oh, that was Prado last year. I was good with that.
Well, yeah.
I was good with that. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Oh, you're good with an MXGP world champion?
Yeah.
111.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That was fine.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for signing off on
No. But what I'm saying is that was a good, like, good job, you know?
That's how it's supposed to be done.
That's how it's supposed to be done.
Okay.
We're
back. It's 2025 again.
Okay. All right. March Banks.
No, Cole Davies is 17 years old.
Okay. Well, great ride, garbage number.
The bike looks badass. You can't take that away from it. You're saying they shouldn't have given it to him.
Did you guys have to look up who number 93 was?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah,
okay. Moving along here. We gotta wrap this up. March Banks 9th. Not good. We had someone who shall go nameless, Weege, absolutely freak out on our group texts. Well, maybe freak out is a bit strong, but the Cowie PR came out and it said, March Banks said it was a good start to the season. This gentleman underlined it in red and then said, no, bro, ninth is pathetic. It is not a good start to the season. This isn't Club MX. So this gentleman was very angry with the Cowie PR that probably, 50% of chance was made up?
Well, I can tell you it's made up because our own Aaron Hensel, who I know you get to hang out with all weekend in the press box, Steve, he interviewed March Banks, and I have the actual March Banks interview here, and I don't see anything of the sort from the actual Garrett March Banks in this interview.
Okay, all right. So
he's extremely disappointed and practically embarrassed, and he actually said maybe the problem was it's probably the first good start he's ever had in his life, so maybe that got to him, but no,
okay, so
he did not.
I am going to tell
the
this gentleman.
Garrett Marchbanks didn't seem to think it was positive to basically have a podium sewed up and then not get a podium.
So it was a good start to the season, was maybe made up.
God, it gets me so. It's just ridiculous.
Okay. Well, more than anything, I'm just happy this gentleman, I'm going to tell him and he's going to calm down. So.
I want to find like a good one that's.
JT.
It wasn't the bike. It wasn't the team or anything like that. It's on me tonight. I take full blame. It was just me being excited and riding tight. I haven't had good starts like that probably ever in Supercross. I was just excited to be up there and made some mistakes. It's frustrating. I'm better than that. I've been here for 6 years. And it's like, man, I'm an idiot for riding like that.
So, not a good start to the season? Okay.
It's like, sounds like two different people. I'm not sure.
Oh, wow. That's great. I love it.
I'm an idiot for riding like that.
Okay, I'm going to text this gentleman and tell him. Update on Barry. I can't really say who told us that without unveiling the source. So, but the source said it's news to them.
Okay.
Yeah. Check your text, Weege.
I have Barry's number, but I feel like texting Barry Carson is not the way things should be done.
Yes, I agree.
Like, to know that Barry has a smartphone kind of disappoints me, so I don't want to do it.
Okay, all right. March Banks, not a good start to the season. He feels like an idiot. Okay.
Yeah, look for the interview. We'll have it posted either tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
On Racer X.
Cole Thompson, 10th. Lux Turner, good job for him. Avery Long, good job for Avery Long, too. That was his first ever Supercross, right? Now, he did some futures? I think he did.
I think at the very end. He was hurt a lot last year. He might have done the last one, something like that.
Oh, good job for AEO.
Not a lot.
They went 11-12.
Yeah.
Hunter Yoder?
Avery Long actually is tall. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah, Long. Got it.
Yeah. It is. It's incredible, actually.
Well, okay.
Right. It's, like, noticeable.
Okay, so flip... Continuing on that vein, Hunter Yoda is sort of like Yoda, short. Like Yoder? Yoda?
Well, his name is Yoder, for starters.
Yeah, but I'm saying Yoder is kind of like Yoda.
This is like in the olden days when, you know, people that had the last name Smith, their family was like a blacksmith or something.
Yeah.
You know, like Taylor Avery Long. It just comes from a long line of tall people.
So
Hunter Yoda.
Hunter Yoda.
Like Fisher, you know, the last name Fisher is pretty obvious what you were, you know.
Well, you eventually became a Cowie test rider.
And listen, I heard TJ Albright's father is in the lighting industry. So TJ Albright. There. That one I made up. He's not in the lighting industry.
Oh, really?
But that would be also really funny if we continued that vein. That TJ Albright's dad owned a lamp store.
Jeez.
Okay, Mosman. Yeah. Michael Mosman. 2 years ago, I just want to remind everybody, 2 years ago, he gave Hunter Lawrence all he wanted for the DVD title.
Sure did.
So it's in there somewhere.
There's a lot in there, though. There's a lot in there.
Okay, Max Miller, good job. He's a privateer this year. So, yeah, good job to Max Miller. Parker Ross, he's an off-road guy? Or what's going on with Parker Ross? What's the story?
No, he just races for a former off-road team.
Oh.
Well, they're not former off-road team. They also have an off-road team.
Okay. All right, so not an off-road guy. Got it.
No.
Noah Viney, first main event for him. Gavin Towers is back from Europe. He's 1-1-5. I'm fine with that. Whatever. Styles Robertson, tough night for Styles. A year off of racing, and he crashed early on. Styles did. So.
Yeah, that's a work in progress. I think I'm just pumped seeing back out there. I will say that we were noticing how bad the inside gate was going to be.
Yep.
Because it, I mean, dude, you have to move over. I think maybe the fifth gate lined up with the inside of the first turn, and like the first four gates are just going straight to tough blocks.
Mm-hmm.
If you folks have Peacock, just watch it start. Styles is on the inside, and he just basically stops. Like there's nowhere. He gets to the first turn, yeah. And it's like there's nowhere to go. He just gets on the brakes and stops because there is nothing he can do. It's quite fun to watch. And it's nothing to do with him. It's just the way this start was set up.
I took a photo of it, put it on my Instagram, actually. My buddy
The wavy.
Yeah, my buddy Jericho got me a great shot of that.
Styles.
By the way, TJ Albright rode really well in the LCQ to come from like eighth to fourth or third or something. So shout out to Albright. Varese and Jet Reynolds. Jet Reynolds got last in the main, but Jet Reynolds came from I had to look it up. I think it was 16th to 7th in the heat or something. Jet Reynolds in the heat was really good. Came from way back. So, shout out to Jet Reynolds for the heat race ride. So.
All right, we're on to San Diego. I got to go eat dinner.
Wow.
We're 2 hours into this thing.
What about the J-Mart story?
I don't know anything about J-Mart story.
Can I tell you?
If you want to hop off, Steve, just tell a story.
You want to stick around, JT? You got to go.
I don't know anything about J-Mart story, so I'm going to go.
I'm going to tell this J-Mart story. Okay.
I don't know, man.
All right.
Maybe save it for Pulp.
All right, maybe I'll save it for Pulp. Yeah. All right, Pulp MX tomorrow night. Stay tuned, everybody. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing and Renthal Maxxis, motorsport.com, Onyx Maps as well. That's the Anaheim 1 review. Great to be back with you two gentlemen in a much more harmonious race review. 2025 will be much smoother. Appreciate that. And, we're on to San Diego. Ouija will not be there this weekend, But
no, I'm burned out.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, burned out. Yeah,
burned out.
Yeah. Too
much traveling lately.
2 20-minute shows done, clipped.
Yeah, too much. I'm going to every race so far this year. My God.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Appreciate it. Weeds, JT. Thanks, boys.
See you guys.
See ya.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners. Don't change the air. Don't change the air.